We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Special guest in studio this hour. He's a provisional licensed professional counselor, a family therapist with Every Child's Hope. Also previously worked with the Suicide Hotline. Ricky Cooper, thank you so much for coming on Overnight America. I'm glad that you joined us, and you're going to stay here this entire hour. Mm-hmm. You're not used to being out after midnight, are you?
No.
It's weird, isn't it?
Doing
late things like this. I'm not a night person myself until I started doing this job. I've always been a morning person, so it was quite an adjustment to get used to that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your background, and tell me about what you're doing now.
So what I do now is I work with, I'm a family therapist, and I work with youth, the ages of 5 to 19. It's actually an in-home therapy program. I go out to the homes and I do therapy with the families, and the range of topics could range from anything. There's just where it'd be depression, anxiety, or whatever, and kind of work on the family dynamic, and then individual things with the kid. And then before that, I was working with the substance abuse population for about 4 years.
Hmm.
Adolescents as well. And then I worked with at the local chapter for Lifeline. That was my internship, the Suicide Hotline, for a year and a half.
Mm.
Well, I didn't work. It was an internship. But so, yeah, that population just ranged because you don't really
Calls it. You know, what's interesting when you think about someone getting help, you have the movies that show you go into a therapist's office
mm-hmm.
alone, you lay down on the couch, and you tell people about your problems. So you go mm-hmm. inside of the home.
Yeah.
And is it in the entire family is involved with that, or do you separate the kids and work with them in a different way?
It just depends. Like, if there's a pressing issue, because I only see the family, I don't see the family every day of the week. If, like, I go out, like, say, Monday, and then something, and the next time I go out is, like, Thursday. If something happens on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday that's really pressing, then I see the entire family. But if it's just something, I usually, to kind of what I do before I start working on the entire family, I kind of get everybody's perspective.
Hmm.
There's, like, multiple family members, and then try to piece together, okay, what's similar to what everybody's saying, and then what things are different to see where everybody's not clicking, and then I bring it back together once I figure out or kind of get an idea, I guess.
Wow.
That
sort of dynamic seems a little bit different. Is there a large demand in the city of St. Louis for your services right now?
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
So what does that mean? When someone calls up, is there a backlog?
There's a wait list, typically, yes. Especially during the school year, because we get a lot of our referrals from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very. I don't know what it's at right now, but there has been... I've only been there for about a year. There's been times where it's been a very, very, very long wait list.
Huh. Is it a funding issue where you just have a hard time bringing in enough people that are specialized in this, or is it more or less there's just not people to help?
I would say it's a funding issue, but not on the organization's behalf, because a huge funding source from us is what's called St. Louis County has this thing called Children's Service Fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's where mental health services or any kind of social work or counseling services is paid for. If you are an adolescent from the age of, I think, 5 to like 18 and you uh-huh. reside in any part of the St. Louis County, all those services are paid for, no out-of-pocket costs. So it
wow.
just depends on how much it's a funding issue, but not organization-wise. It's more like governmental, I guess.
No one knows that. Yeah. That's amazing to me. All the different services that are offered in the city of St. Louis for children, either through the school system itself, mm-hmm. maybe there's certain things that are offered inside of the school, but even programs outside of the school, that's mm-hmm. very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So is it an issue where if there were just more qualified counselors that could come in and help in a situation, they would be put to use immediately? Or like, is there only a limited amount of people that you guys can bring on as an organization?
I don't know that side of it.
Yeah.
My guess is that we have to abide by the funding that they provide for us, because they're our main funding source. So we kind of just have to like cut it off or cap it off at whatever St. Louis County says. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, we're only giving your program this much for this year. And so I guess they base that of how much or how many counselors they hire based on the amount of funding we get.
Wow. A lot of people talk about the adult side of it, but the children's side of it too. There's a lot of pressures that kids are confronted with today's society.
Yeah.
You said through your internship, you were also working with the suicide hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Were you answering calls?
Yes. I worked different shifts. Some shifts were early mornings, some were evening, some were like around this time at night until about 5 a.m.
Oh, is that right?
So it varied. But that population, I spoke to kids sometimes as young as like 6, and I spoke to some people as old as like 80. So it was
6?
It was a wide variation of,
How does a 6-year-old find out about that?
Sometimes, because there was a famous song at the time that came out. Sometimes it was about the song, but sometimes actually it was about, I think that had a lot to do with, there's a lot more media coming out about it. There was a Netflix series and the song and things like that. And, you know, kids are naturally curious, I think. And so most of it was natural curiosity, but sometimes it was real situations. So it was just a mixture of that. As far as someone who called in that was that young.
What's the song?
Logic song. That's the actual Lifeline number. The actual song title is The Number to Lifeline.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
So it's called the Logic song?
The song is by Logic. This
by
artist
Logic.
Called Logic.
Okay.
And I don't know the number off the top of my head, but the actual, so you know how if it were a music video, the actual number is Lifeline's number.
Oh.
And so he performed that song at like the VMAs and all kinds of broadcast shows until kids saw that and they started. Like, there was a bunch of calls where kids were like, do you know Logic? You know, that kind of thing.
So it was meant to bring awareness to this.
Yes.
Okay.
It did in its way, but it didn't, I guess, in a way, too, also. But
I can see why people would be curious to call that phone number when it's part of pop culture and something like that.
Yeah.
Those television shows, I know what you're talking about with Netflix, the something Reasons or whatever. 13 Reasons Why.
That was another huge one. Yes.
Yeah, and that gained a lot of publicity as well because of the, you know, pretty serious nature of some of the topics that were brought up and the ideas were brought up on that show. I've never seen it for myself, but I've read some of the articles about the dangers of that if you have a family and especially kids that have a hard time understanding the severe nature of a topic like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have all kinds of other questions I want to ask you, and I'm glad you're going to be with us this hour. Ricky Cooper, he's going to continue a provisional licensed professional counselor, and I want to ask you about some of the experiences you've had through your career and some of the things that you deal with today, because when we talk about these topics and we can look at it generally speaking and we can say, okay, you cover these topics. I want to know really what are those things more specifically, because I think some people listening today may be surprised, like I was surprised that you just said as young as 6, someone would call the suicide hotline.
Yeah, not a lot, but it happened.
Yeah, an 80. Mm. Wow. We'll continue on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America, live this hour with our special guest, Ricky Cooper. And thank you, Ricky. I'm glad you decided to do this. Come on for a full hour and talk about some of your experiences and the things you're working with around the city of St. Louis.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You got an injury. You have the brace on your hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Football injury?
Yes.
It sounds really tough when you say it that way. Oh, I got a football injury.
It feels tough. It feels tough.
Well, how long are you going to have that thing on?
Doctor said about 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a bummer. Is that your dominant hand?
Yes, my writing hand and everything.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes,
that's the worst. All right. Well, you're a family therapist. You go into people's homes and you'll talk to their children. Schools will recommend to your organization, hey, can you help?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go and make these house calls. How often do you go to a person's home? Is it like once a week? Is it a couple times a week?
I typically try to do about twice.
Yeah. What are the things that these kids are dealing with that you would normally get a call for?
I get a lot of emotional impulsivity in relation to ADHD, because ADHD and emotional impulsivity kind of heavily correlate with one another. I get a lot of self-esteem that's correlated with like depression. Sometimes there's like some self-harming type behaviors there and things like that. More to kind of the teenage side. Sometimes drug use. What else? The grief. Grief is a huge one. Like sometimes kids lose a parent and they're grieving. So I kind of work on not just the kid, but just kind of the parent also, like how to grieve with the loss of like a co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are kind of like the top ones. There are others I can't think of off the top of my head. Yeah. But
well, even that emotional pulsivity?
Impulsivity.
Yeah. What does that mean?
So see, for example, if someone were to look at me the wrong way, there's no like stop mechanism in my brain to go, don't react or don't like do something. Yeah, it's more, and typically you see more of that in the classroom. Like classrooms are very overstimulating because there's other kids talking, noise. So that a lack of emotional control or emotional impulsivity is kind of just taking that overwhelming feeling and showing it, whether it be screaming, being defiant.
Mm-hmm. See people do that on social media a lot, but this is real mm-hmm. life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And those type of behaviors, it's tough. Mm-hmm. So it's impulsive. They can't help themselves when they do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Is this normally something that would get a school to call your organization? What would it take? Like, what would have to happen inside of a classroom for you to get a recommendation to go to make a house call?
That kind of disorder. Or, say what typically happens is a kid has repeated instances of behaviors. Like, there's a long track list of behaviors, and so the school's kind of like, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they refer to us. Or sometimes kids go to the schools, and because schools have very limited counselors on hand, you know, they have to serve an entire school sometimes. So what the school does is they refer to us to give them a more, like say for if a kid came to the counselor and said something like, hey, I'm depressed, and the kid would need more like in tune or more frequent therapy, they would refer to us because it's more person focused.
So the school can only do so much.
Pretty much, yeah.
A lot of times these schools actually have counselors on hand that are trained in some of these matters.
Yeah. But that sometimes, like some schools I'm at, they have 1,400 students and three counselors. So it's kind of an imbalance, I guess.
Yeah. Is depression common?
Yeah.
Yeah? What age group, normally?
Typically, from what I've seen, because I've only worked with adolescents face-to-face, typically about that important developmental age of about 13. Like 13 is when you start to see kind of the side effects or symptoms of depression showing through.
Do they sometimes take medication at that age, even that young?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Do parents, are sometimes they surprised the way that their kids act in school? Are they caught off guard by some of these?
Very. That's kind of something. So, yeah, because kind of another thing I do is kind of I work with the parent on adjusting and kind of coping with, because I always say it'll get worse before it gets better. I kind of work with them on coping, how to deal with the behaviors and not throw their hands up or, you know, be reactive back to the kid that's reactive, because then reactive plus reactive, you kind of, that's a bad equation, that kind of thing. But yeah.
Are they taken out of the classroom ever? Are they separated and maybe they go to a different curriculum? Or when you're doing this, and sometimes they're reactive and they have these outbursts that would lead to you helping, is there a certain like intermediate point where they may go and continue their education in a different classroom?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
It just varies on what availabilities the school district has. Like there are some school districts in this area that don't have the luxury of having an alternative environment for kids like that. So sometimes it leads to like long-term suspension or things like that. So it just varies.
How young of an age are you seeing drug use?
The youngest is 10.
10?
Yes, the youngest.
Whew, boy. Yes. That's very young.
Only a few times, though. Not like it's not a comment. I've seen it about once or twice, but yeah, still very young.
How does a 10-year-old even get a hold of this? Are they finding something their parents may have and they're trying it? Or
on both instances, that was the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 years old. I didn't even know what drugs look like at 10.
Yeah.
I didn't even know drugs existed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at an age like that. some kids are put into some pretty serious situations at a young age. It's no fault of their own that they're put in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you go into some of these situations, is this, I don't know, this is, it's a weird way to put this, but are there ever instances where child services get involved
of
or is this like
course.
A, it happens.
Of
so,
th- course.
So this isn't a, you're going to go in there and we're doing this for the benefit of the parents, but we're not going to make it look like we're going to, we want to help the kids. So we don't want to have them decide, get the help or maybe there's the alternative where their kids get taken away. They have that. So you don't want them to have that fear. But in some cases, there's you have no choice.
Yeah, safety first. That's my motto. Safety first. I can't provide a service or can't, you know, continue to help the family improve or and so forth if, you know, there's a safety issue. So we have to, a more immediate safety issue. So that, to me, my spiel is that has to be addressed first and foremost before any progress can happen.
Wow. What happens when you talk to the parents and they had no idea about some of these things? Like how, what happens when you talk to a shocked parent that just was blindsided by some of these things?
Are you talking child services or just behaviors in general?
Just behaviors in general. They could say, I had no idea my kid was depressed.
I go more back to, I do a lot of education, just a lot of going through what depression is, symptoms, that kind of thing. So I spend a lot of time kind of going back to the beginning, because sometimes parents know their kid has a diagnosis, but they don't know exactly what comes with the diagnosis. They'll just know, oh, well, such and such was diagnosed with this at age 10, but I don't really know what that looks like. And so it'll be more so of me revisiting that diagnosis with them and educating them. I'm like, well, these are kind of things that may happen, and this is language you can use to get across to them and that kind of thing.
This is not a, this may sound like an insensitive question, but I think it's one that I'm very curious about. Sometimes you would think that there are rough areas you go into, and sometimes there's probably really high-end areas you go into. Does the neighborhood that you go into, did you ever say, well, okay, you go into an area and it's like a really bad part of town. It doesn't surprise me that there might be some issues with behavioral issues. Do you find yourself going into some really high-end areas in areas that are more dangerous?
Yep, because there's
doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no predictability as far as like where I go. Only thing that happens when I get a case and wherever they live, that's wherever they live. And
see, the environment, I always wonder where the environment these kids that may be put into some areas where, you know, we hear in the news there's shootings and there's bullet holes and there's kids that are put into some terrible, terrible situations where a family member, a young one, may have got hurt accidentally or purposely or some gang-related violence. But then there's also these high-end areas where you would think, oh, I can't believe this happened over here. People don't realize that, you know, behind these walls, these families, it could be anyone could be impacted by something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, depending on where you're at. I'm just curious if there, I wanted to ask you if there was a difference or if you've seen it really, all walks of life are affected by this.
Yes, there is a difference. From what I've seen, the closer to that kind of stuff, the harder it is, kind of, sort of, because there's, going back to the safety point I made, if there's more immediate issues like environmental safety and things like that, like if I'm working with a kid who lives in a neighborhood to where they might be shot or robbed or something like that, and, you know, I'm going to do some therapy work, but also I'm going to also, you know, focus on that also as well, because that's a more realistic aspect. Because if you're not, if your immediate basic needs aren't met, then I feel like you can't get to that higher level of where you're like processing in therapy, that kind of thing, because those are more immediate and more, it's another word, like on demand.
Yeah. We hear about these businesses that have turned down services because they don't want to go into a rough neighborhood. You know, we have areas that St. Louis police are focusing on for open drug dealing and prostitution and things like that. And businesses say, we just don't feel safe going in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel unsafe sometimes going into areas?
No.
No?
Because and this sounds very cheesy and very, you know, counselor-ish. There's this thing called unconditional positive regard that I lead with. Everybody needs help, kind of, sort of thing. Mm. And I've been doing it for a year and I haven't had a negative situation happen to me yet. So it's like that I can't. Because then I come into the situation with the bias, and I can't do that, because then I can't provide a full service, or I can't provide a full authenticity if I come into it with like a bias. So I try to avoid that. Even if I know where a person, or if I know the neighborhood myself, I try to avoid that because then I can't blame the person for the neighborhood.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard for a lot of people to get past that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of the areas are underserved, like you said.
Yeah.
Because sometimes businesses or sometimes there's not enough resources because, like you said, businesses won't come in or work with the schools and things like that. So, yeah, they're underserved.
Wow. You find sometimes multiple kids in the same family are affected?
By environmental factors?
Sure. Or just let's say you're in there and maybe you had a recommendation for one of the children inside the household, but then you later find out, well, actually, there's probably multiple kids inside the house that could use the service.
Yeah, because that's a portion of family therapy. The way family therapy works is sometimes it's the whole family, and then sometimes it's different members of the family, mm-hmm. but there's also one identified like client. So it can, typically I do work with siblings. So if there's like 4, 5, 3 or whatever siblings in the house, I do meet with them individually as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk to you more about this. In studio this hour is Ricky Cooper, a provisional licensed professional counselor, also a family therapist with Every Child's Hope here in the city of St. Louis. I have a lot more questions for you, so we're going to continue next. And thank you again, Ricky. I'm so glad you decided to stay for the entire hour. I'm thrilled.
No
Even
problem.
Though I know you work early, you do things in the morning, you're saying your day starts at 7 a.m., and you're still here with us.
Yeah.
This is great. So I really do thank you. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, we continue with our special guest in studio this hour, Ricky Cooper, provisional licensed professional counselor, family therapist with Every Child's Hope, previously worked with the Suicide Hotline. You know, you mentioned that Logic song.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the Logic song was 1-800-273-8255.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone calls that number, they're redirected to a local person? Is that how that works?
Because it's the national number, the way it works is they kind of have like a huge network of call centers and it just varies.
And there's one here in St. Louis?
Mm-hmm. Through Provident Counseling.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You worked... Well, how many years with that hotline?
A year and a half.
Yeah,
a
year and a half.
Yeah.
You were interning at that time.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are involved with that? Is it a large staff?
Not really. Not as much as the demand because the St. Louis chapter is kind of a smaller chapter of the national network. So we got all calls. And so in times like this, when there only would be about 2 or 3 people there because it's super late at night, we'd still get sometimes 100-plus calls.
100 calls a night?
Sometimes, yes.
Wow. I had no idea.
Because it serves the national. And sometimes, in some states, the call centers don't have 24. Like St. Louis is one, I don't know if they've increased, but they were one of the few that did have 24-hour.
Yeah,
ongoing.
I see. So you may not be talking to someone from the region.
No.
But you're just based here.
Yes.
Okay. So the number is 1-800-273-8255. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, wow, 100. And you said the overnight hours, those are the most popular times when people call?
Yeah, yeah. It was also very, I wasn't there yet. But I heard cultural events, like when Robin Williams completed suicide,
yeah.
You know, every part of the day was busy because that was a cultural event that affected everybody. So it just varies on what's happening overall in culture.
Wow. A cultural event could trigger certain things where people,
mm-hmm.
So some of them may be calling out of curiosity and others based on something inside of them may have been triggered
mm-hmm.
by an event like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this song that came out by Logic here, let's play just a little bit of it. The song itself is the number to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, the 1-800-273-8255. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die. All right, how many times have you heard this song by Logic, by the way?
There is at least a comma with the number, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
That many times.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impact has that song had on the suicide prevention hotline?
Very, very positive impact because
yeah.
It made people, it did increase awareness. It did increase awareness in like exponentially. But there also are those outliers. They're just out of curiosity. Like some people call sometimes just to play the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like, they hold up the line.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, what happens when someone calls that number? Well, no, in general, if someone were to call that number.
They talk to a support.
So they're just directly put on with someone that would talk to them.
Yep.
What kind of training did you go through to prepare you for what you would experience answering phones?
A 2-week training. They use this program called ASSIST that's evidence-based and specifically for suicide prevention. I forgot what it stood for, but it's A-S-I-S-T. The first weekend was more educating on risk factors, how to, things to prevent suicide, more specific things about things that goes on the, you know, the hotline. And then the second weekend was strictly like ASSIST stuff. It was strictly, this is our model, this is what we use, and kind of, yeah.
Wow. With that phone number, I mean, there could be people listening right now that may have called that line in the past, or maybe, I'm sure people have known this service exists, but maybe never really thought that they should call it, but maybe they should call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have that phone number out there. So it's 1-800-273-8255. And you're anonymous, right? When you call in, you really don't know who you're talking to.
Unless they choose to, because they do, the hotline does have a follow-up service based on the number, but they leave it up to you whether you want to give name or not for the follow-up service. So, yeah, but you remain completely anonymous, yeah.
What kind of relationship do you find that you, well, like what kind of connection do you have with someone that calls on the phone? Is it hard?
Just that varies also.
Yeah.
Because sometimes someone may, because each situation is different. Someone may have went through 12 million things versus someone may have went through one thing, you know, and it just depends on how easy it is to kind of pull that person back. So it's always a warm relationship nonetheless, though.
How long would you normally talk to someone? Like, what's an average phone call length?
About 20 minutes.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes.
After you did that about a year and a half, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you moved on and you started to work and did more on the therapy side, counseling side.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those things that you learned on the job that you never thought you would learn? Like, what are those things that were just complete surprises to you through experience?
Hotline job or the
in general, anything? I'm sure through the experience, there's things you've encountered that you never would have imagined.
The thing I think I learned best is always lead with empathy. Even when it seems completely absurd to. And what I mean by that is to say if I go into a home and there's just a parent where I'm kind of like, okay, these are the exact reasons why everything is going, you know. Always lead with empathy because then that leads to authentic curiosity and then that leads to problem solving. Like I had to really work on how to lead with empathy even with the difficult parents because I didn't always have that. And so someone once told me, like, lead with empathy, and it really, when I started doing that, it really changed for me because then it's for someone who's resistant to change, you know, leading with empathy, it gets them to kind of come around just a little bit more because you don't lead with, like, an accusatory or type of thing.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of people have been talking online about self-help, taking care of yourself. You find that people normally put themselves last a lot of times, and it builds up over the years?
Yeah, because I think that's just the kind of, because we live in a fast-paced society, so you kind of, by default, have to put yourself like last, which is work and school and things like that, so yeah.
What are some of the mistakes you think people make in their own lives when it comes to self-health and mental health? Is it putting themselves last, not taking care of themselves?
I think because they put themselves first, but then they put mental health last because it's a thing we can't see. And if we could see mental health would be higher on the hierarchy. So I think people do the right thing by putting themselves first. You know, I think it's just sometimes the mental health aspect because most people don't address mental health until it comes up. That's until there is an issue with mental health versus trying to maintain it to make sure nothing comes up. and then something comes up, normally they have like a depressive episode or something like that, then it's okay, it's time to address my mental health now versus what are preventative measures?
You know, you say until an issue comes up, do you find people have a hard time recognizing that in themselves?
Yeah, because they can't see it. Like I said, I think if we were able to see it, it'd be much more. And there's not like a lot of, there's a lot of information out, you know, as far as like signs and things like that about depression, anxiety and things like that. But we, I think the initiative to like go read up on that kind of stuff, you know, because it's a lot of information to take in, isn't as prominent or isn't as urgent.
Yeah. And also the information you get online is not always the greatest. I mean, there's people out there that are anti-vaxxers and flat earths and things like that. So sometimes you're worried about the information you're getting off of a random website. You need to make sure you're getting the right information. So what kind of things should a person look for if they have their suspicions of a family member or a close friend or a colleague that should be warning signs?
For
anything, really. Like what are there behavioral for depression or... maybe people that have, they may be going through something, or they, in some cases, they may feel they may be suicidal. They may be making jokes about it or something, and you may be thinking, oh, that's a red flag. What are some signs that people could look for?
So for each, you know, to each his own. So I'll just say for suicide, it's more kind of going off what you said. If they're, you know, mentioning it a lot, not like making jokes about it, but just kind of like mentioning it a lot. If they're doing things like giving away their possessions, a lot of their possessions, if they've become, their language has just become very like hopeless. Like there is no turnaround. There is no, there's like an end. They start speaking about themselves in like past tense kind of thing. And then there's other risk factors that may increase those kinds of behaviors, like drug use and being exposed to someone close that recently completed suicide. That kind of thing. And then with depression, it's kind of behavioral stuff. Change in appetite, whether good or bad, whether your appetite increases exponentially or it decreases exponentially. Mood up and down. Isolation, that's a huge one with depression. Hopelessness, that's a huge one. It's kind of like you can't get out of that hole. Your language is just kind of like hopeless, like there is no end.
Wow.
Withdrawal, change in being social, like decreasing your social activity, just anything that is just very opposite. So for each person, that's different, though, because some people aren't naturally social.
Yeah.
So it just looks different for each person, because depression can also be, because there's different forms of depression. Like there's like dysthymia, and then there's like bipolar disorder with like hypomania and mania and stuff like that. So some depression may take the form of a person doing the exact opposite of what they would normally do to the extreme. So if a person who isn't like naturally social and they're being like overly social and
overly
risky and overly that kind of thing, then that's a change. But that's more, happens more with bipolar. There's like a high and a low.
And the tough part about all of that is you sometimes don't recognize it until it's too late. You sometimes realize, man, I should have seen that. We're not aware of our surroundings, or maybe we don't pay attention to the people that are close to us as much as we should. You know, we just, you know, we get comfortable and we don't really have the awareness or notice some of these small and sometimes subtle changes that could be a significant thing in their life. Yeah. We're going to go one more segment with Ricky Cooper, who's joining us in studio, and I hope you're getting a lot out of this. I am, too. He's with he's a family therapist with Every Child's Hope. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. For just the last couple of minutes, Ricky Cooper's been joining us, a family therapist with Every Child's Hope, previously working with the Suicide Hotline. And since we only have a couple of minutes, Ricky, maybe I've been asking all the questions, and I really haven't really given you the opportunity to say any of the things you've really wanted to say. So with all the people that are listening, and this radio station reaches 30-plus states at night, Canada and all these, I mean, all over, and anyone that's listening out there, if you wanted to just directly talk to them, because I'm sure there's some people that maybe deep down inside realize that there are some things that could be good for their own mental health or good things for their own self-help. What message do you have for them tonight?
Kind of piggybacking off my last point, or one of the points I made, don't wait. there are tons of resources out there, but you probably won't be aware of them until you have to, you know, figure it out. Like, for example, there's tons of hospitals in the area that offer free support groups for all kinds of anxiety, depression, grief. There's churches in the area that offer all kinds of free grief support groups. So just don't wait. Even if, you know, it's kind of like health, you know, kind of like, you don't, if you're an active person and you like going to the gym, you don't wait until you get like a gut to go to the gym. You go every day. So mental health is kind of the same thing. If a major life event happens, my suggestion would be don't wait until, you know, that major life event starts changing your life. After the life event has happened, kind of make sure, even if you feel like, oh, I think I'm doing well, just make, you know, take that extra step to make sure, to seek out resources and see if you need support, because that very support may open your eyes. Mm-hmm. It may point out something you may not know. And you know, do it for as long as you want to do. Like if you go to a grief group and you only want to go the first 3 weeks because you feel like, all right, I got this, then that's fine. Just do something.
A grief group. You know, when you say those things, you know, people will listen and they'll hear that and they'll say, oh, okay, there's something at the hospital or something at the church or something at the group. But then they don't take that next step, which is actually seek it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to take that next step? Because it's very hard, difficult, you know, to put themselves out there. They may have their own insecurities. And of course, they may have these different mental blocks that would stop them from doing that next step. How do you get someone to do that next step?
Just encourage them and let them know that most support groups are held in a fashion to where they aren't led by professionals like myself. Not that we don't know what we're not talking about, but they're mostly led by people who have experienced or are experiencing the same thing in the past. So they're led by regular people who are non-therapists. So it's not like, because I think the reason some people feel like that is, oh, it's just another therapist, you know, trying to connect with me. But some, most of these groups are held by people who just like, who have experienced what you experienced and who don't have any kind of mental health profession. They're just there in the group and they facilitate it because they saw there was a need or something like that.
Yeah. What's the best thing for someone to do? Just Google search or what would you say?
Google search, hospitals. I know St. Anthony, are they calling it something else? Mercy South, I think they're calling it now. Mm-hmm. They hand out, in their behavior unit, they hand out what they call, like they used to, referral sheets.
So that's a good first step. You can look at your local hospitals. Ricky Cooper from Every Child's Hope, I'm so glad you came in. Thank you for spending time with us here tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.